Tonight we're going to be in Psalm 16 with what the Lord has drawn my attention to. And I'm going to read through this psalm before we focus on our verses for tonight. This is a song of David, a psalm of David. Preserve me, O God, for in you I put my trust. O my soul, you have said to the Lord, you are my Lord. My goodness is nothing apart from you. And to the saints who are on earth, they are the excellent ones, in whom is all my delight. Their sorrows shall be multiplied who hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood I will not offer, nor take up their names on my lips. You, O Lord, are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My heart also instructs me in the night seasons. I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also will rest in hope. For you shall not leave my soul in Sheol, nor will you allow your Holy One to see corruption. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore. David wrote this psalm like so many others when he was going through a hard time, because it just flowed from his heart as he was out there, and he had enemies surrounding him all the time. So he was probably at a low point in his life. In verses 2 through 4, he speaks of the wicked or the evil men that surround him. He reminds himself, though, that there are still saints out there. There's still a remnant. The Lord always has a remnant who are excellent on the earth. And he doesn't allow himself to lose sight of God, to get bitter over what's going on, but he keeps his eyes on the Lord. In verses 5 and 6, David turns his thoughts onto the Lord and all that he has in him, his portion, his inheritance, and his cup. Wicked men cannot override the promises of God. And that's such a good thing for all of us to remember, no matter what's going on in our lives. The promises of God stay true. David blessed the Lord, verses 7 through 9, and said that because God is next to him, he will not be moved. And then he closes the psalm by speaking of the Messiah and the hope of his resurrection, and that God in him is fullness of joy. So our focus tonight is verses 5 and 6. You, O Lord, are the portion of my inheritance and my cup. You maintain my lot. The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. So it speaks of portion, inheritance, a cup, a lot, a line, which is measured. And that word portion, it is something that has been given. We have been given a portion, an inheritance. We know what that is. That is something that is left to us when that person dies. It is given to us. Some of us might have received maybe a piece of jewelry from a grandmother or a vase or something like that. That's our little inheritance. Or a big pot of money, I don't know. But it's that something that's given to us. A cup, it's a container, it's a vessel, it holds something. And that lot and those lines are like our house, our property, it's on a lot and it's been measured. It's been measured out, and that's our portion. That's what we own or what we have or what has been left to us. And all of these things, they're just different ways of saying about the same thing, and that is God is our portion. He's our inheritance. He is the one. Now, I was thinking of that word portion, and I think for us in this day and age, we're not going to get the fullness out of this because we think of portions in terms of food, that we need to portion those foods, you know, so we don't overeat. They package things now with only this many calories, so you get to buy this thing and you eat four crackers. You know, that's your portion. Well, that doesn't sound that good, but that's not what we're talking about here, because if God is our portion, that's pretty big. Okay, it is huge. God has given us rich and precious inheritance. It is unbelievable what he has given to us. And it's interesting because it's very precise. He's measured it out. He knows exactly what is ours, what he has given to us. He told Abraham where he promised the promised land to his people who would be coming through Abraham. And he promised him that land, and he promised him that through Isaac, he would multiply his people so that they couldn't even be numbered. And yet he still spoke to him in Genesis 15:1, and he said, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. It's him. It is him. Romans 8 tells us that we have been adopted by God. You have received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. We can call him Father. We can call him Dad. Daddy, whatever you called your dad, and whether you had a close relationship with your dad or not, for those of you who have or had, that is wonderful, because you can take that, the goodness of that relationship that you had with your earthly father, and then you can think of your heavenly father, of him being so much more. And then for others who did not have a relationship that was very good with their earthly father, that's fine, because you have a dad who's a true dad, who's a true father. He has adopted us. He's chosen us. Your real dad didn't. That's what you got, you know? But your heavenly father has chosen you. Our spiritual adoption is also spoken of in Romans 9, in Galatians 3 and 4, in Ephesians 1, and 1 Peter 2. So the New Testament speaks of us being adopted into that family, because the Jews were his chosen people. And the Gentiles, in fact, I think it was on Sunday, I can't remember if it was morning or evening, but he's talking about, or maybe it wasn't even on Sunday, maybe it was something I read, I have no idea, but it's all going on in my mind right now. Where the Jews, I mean, they just were shocked that a Gentile could be saved. But we have been chosen, adopted, and then Romans 11, it tells us that we've been grafted in. We have been placed into that tree, that branch, so that we are now a part of his family. We're not an oddball. We are a part. We are We are his child. We are joint heirs, which speaks, okay, our inheritance in Ephesians 1, Colossians 1, Colossians 3, 1 Peter 1, all speaks of our inheritance. Romans 8:17, if we are children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. You just let that settle in your heart and your mind. Okay, we are adopted, so we are true children, and now we have this inheritance. All that he has, he gives to his children. All that Jesus has, we are joint heirs with him. What he has, we have. You cannot comprehend that. I suppose even if you were in an extremely wealthy family and they had a, you know, whatever, okay, let's just say $1 billion, you know I'm going to get $1 billion. But there's a number there. I can't comprehend $1 billion, but perhaps if you were raised in that family, you could comprehend $1 billion. But there's no price tag. There's no limit on our inheritance. We just know that it's huge. It's big. And it's all ours. It blows your mind. It also tells us that God maintains our lot. What he has given to us, he maintains that. He has secured it. He has sealed it with the blood of his Son and by placing the Holy Spirit within us. Ephesians 1 tells us that having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Isn't that wonderful? Sealed. We are sealed. And I know that the illustration is, you know, the king's signet ring, and he puts his seal and he stamps it. Maybe I'm all wrong here, but I like to think of it as like a vacuum packed thing. You know, there's nothing, nothing can get in, nothing can get out. We are sealed, we are done. The Holy Spirit says you are God's and your inheritance is a done deal. Nothing you can do is going to change that. It is more sure than anything else could ever be. And so this inheritance that we have does not fluctuate with the stock market, okay? Now, if you're just in the flesh here, if you're waiting for an inheritance and you're watching the stock market and now it's being lost, and oh, I was going to get that much, now I'm going to get that much, or oh no, my parents are driving away with their bumper sticker, I'm spending our kids' inheritance. You know, it's not a sure thing, but God's inheritance toward us, it is a sure thing. It doesn't go up and down. It is what it is. And it can't get any better than what it is. You know, have you thought about that? Do you believe that? Are you secure in that? And trust in him and what he has for you, and then rest in it. We can't rest in anything in this world because everything changes. I don't understand one thing about the stock market. It makes no sense to me. You know, I don't know what the Dow is. I don't know what that other word is that I hear. I don't care. But it just doesn't make any sense to me at all. I don't understand all of what I have been given in Christ. But I trust it and I rest in that because He is the only security that we have in this world. And our inheritance is secure. That is just huge. So many of us, we can worry about what's going on, and it's horrible what's going on in this world. And I only know this much because I can't handle anything other than that. It's like, oh Lord, I just want to go to heaven. I just want to go to heaven. My mind cannot comprehend, it can't compute. It just like, I am ready for heaven. And I don't have to worry about it. It's really the one thing I don't ever have to worry about. Not that I have to worry about anything else, but you know what I mean? I do. I don't want to, but I do. We worry about, oh, what shoes am I going to wear, to how am I going to pay my bill? I mean, everything. There's decisions and things like that. I don't think about like that way about God. I don't think about that way about my relationship with Him. I don't think that way about my salvation, about where what's going to happen at death. It's like, yes, this is so great. There's no worry. It's just perfect peace. I love that. And I love verse 5 and verse 6 with the translation that we put on the little card, and it was on the flyer and that. And I think I thought I got it from the NIV, but if you look at the NIV today, it's different. So it might have been when I first discovered that verse, and it was through somebody else, that you know how they revise translations. So, Lord, You have assigned me my portion and my cup and have made my lot secure. And that the image that we used on the flyer with that verse is a little frame, a little teapot frame that I have had where I have quiet time, no matter where I've moved, for over 25 years. I have that verse, that translation, that very frame. And because it's really ministered to me for that long, because He has assigned me what He has for me for the day. To me, that word brings it into this day. He is my inheritance, my portion, my everything. And then it helps me bring it right down to today. God has given me, okay, He's given you our portion. He has measured out, He's assigned, or He has put into my cup, this is what I have for you today. And so I can be just as secure in what He has given me today than in my inheritance for eternity. And sometimes it's easier to just, I believe that and I know that, and then fret about today and what happened today or what might happen today, instead of resting in that He's measured it out. It's my assignment for today. He has something for me to do, something for you to do each and every day. I hope you spend time with Him in the morning and ask Him, Lord, what would You have me to do today? yeah, you can have your lists. You can have, you know, you've got to go to work or you've got to tend to this or that or whatever it might be. But what do you have for me today? And what then, when we pray that, then we know that no matter what happens today, He's measured it out. The lines have fallen in pleasant places, even if it doesn't feel pleasant. There's good in it, no matter what it might be. That's taken me years to really rest in this, because my first tendency was, you know, to fight it. Okay, why does it got to be the devil? Why is this happening kind of a thing? Instead of just like, okay, Lord, what do you have for me today? Oh, that's changed. Oh, that was really, really hard news. But this is part of what you've given me for today. And if you've given me that for today, then you've equipped me. And your grace is there for me today. So these things that He fills our cup with, that He's assigned us to, could be a big thing. I mean, it could be a really significant thing that He wants us to do that day. That'll make a huge difference. Maybe we get to see that difference more often. They're small things, and they could be tedious things to us, or little insignificant things that we think are insignificant. And as I said, sometimes it can be really hard things. Really hard things. Like, that is not what I had in mind today. That phone call is not what I needed today. I didn't want that phone call. Or whatever that came in the mail, or, you know, whatever it might be. And yet, when I know nothing comes into my life except that the Lord has assigned it, or He's allowed it into my life. And when we get to that place, there's just rest. There is peace. Whatever happens on a given day is not an accident. Ever. And it's a good reminder. I need to be reminded of it, which is probably why I have that framed right next to my quiet time thing, so I can look at it and I can be reminded as I'm praying. You know, it's what He has for us that day. And, you know, every day, and I'm seeing this the older I get, you know, the best thing about growing older is that you have gone through so much and you learn. It is a gift. Every day is a gift. No matter what happens, it is a gift, and it's from Him, and this is what He's given me. And it's a privilege. And I want to, and I'm sure you do too, I want to offer my will to Him with gladness, whatever happens today. Whatever He wants, I will want to lay my life down as a living sacrifice to say, okay, Lord, whatever You have for me. And I know that in this day, most likely for me, maybe not for you, but for me, I will be chiseled and I will be refined and I will be tried and I will be tested. But I will also see God's faithfulness to me. I will see His hand leading me. I will hear His voice today. And I will know that He is constantly with me. And God willing, and I know that He is, we will see and come to see, learn to see that every single day is a blessing. And there are some mornings where you might not think that right when you wake up. It might be, oh no, another day. Or, oh no, what day is this? Because sometimes you can forget, the older you get, you don't, you know, or where am I, or what am I doing? But we are one step closer to receiving our portion, our inheritance, because it is waiting for us. And we live today for Him, and knowing that it could be at any moment that I get to receive that inheritance, that He gives me this abundant life now, but what awaits me in heaven? David closed this psalm by saying, "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, and at your right hand are pleasures forevermore." He will show us the path of life. Again, it's God's way. It's that whatever He's assigned us, He's going to show us. And His presence, He's present with us every single day. He's always here. I've heard people say, "Lord, we invite you here." And I understand what they're saying, but I'm like, no, He invited you here. He is already here. He is already with us. And so with His presence, there's fullness of joy. So no matter where He is, there's joy, and He is everywhere. So that joy should fill my heart and your heart. David wrote something similar in Psalm 23. He said that God prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He anoints my head with oil, and my cup runs over. And it's very similar to what he's saying here. Here we are in the presence of our enemies, not in this room, but when we go out there in this world, we are surrounded always with evil. We know this. You read the paper or the internet or the whatever, and it's just, Oh, I loved Pastor Frank when he was here a week ago, Sunday evening. And if you weren't here, please listen. Go back and listen to that, because that was a great message. Where he's talking about, it's just a reminder of why things are happening and the wickedness and the evilness behind it. But here we are, but yet the Lord prepares a banquet for us right in the presence of our enemies. Every day He gives us a banquet. He lays out the blanket and He puts the food on there. It's like, this is for my child. This is for my child in the midst of the enemies. And yet the abundance that He gives us. He anoints our head with oil. The Holy Spirit is poured out upon us. Our cups, this daily cup, is running over. It's running over. And you might look at your little cup and think it's dry. And maybe it is dry because it's you know, the life is being sucked out of you. And the only way it's going to be filled is to spend more time with Him. Fill my cup, Lord. Fill my cup until it is running over. That song the kids sing, Running Over, I don't even know if they sing that one anymore. My cup is full of running over. You know, I mean, we need to keep those little songs in our hearts. Our cup does run over right in the presence of our enemies and all the wickedness and the injustice around us, but it cannot override God's promises. He is faithful to His word. He will be true to His word. Ephesians 1:3 tells us, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ." I love that verse. Claim that verse. Grab that verse. He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. What does that mean? How many are there? I don't know. Start talking to him about it. Walk with him. Search your Bible for all these spiritual riches and blessings. What a promise we have. David said, "The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance." So whatever your assignment was for today, whatever it will be tomorrow, whatever's going on in your life. Okay, wait a minute. Never mind. It's pleasant. It is good because he is good. And maybe we just needed to be reminded of that. I know I did. I did. Father, thank you. Thank you for your word, your truth, your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, that in this world that we live in, that is so dark, it's so wicked, it's getting worse day by day, and yet you have us in the palm of your hand, and you shield us and protect us. And you do what David has said. You prepare a table, a banquet for us each and every day in the presence of our enemies. You have measured out for us, and you've made our lot secure. You have done it all. Father, thank you. I pray that we would chew on this, that we would meditate, we would talk to you about it, Lord. We would rejoice in this and in the security that we have, the hope that we have. Father, thank you. I pray that you would fill those who are empty, who might be dry, who might be struggling. I pray that heaven's gates would be open and their hearts, their lives, their cup would be flooded to running over. That something in just a moment in time would change, because that's how you work. From one moment to the next, things can be so different. And Lord, for those who need that touch, I pray that you would do that. And I thank you, Lord, ahead of time for what you're going to do. Continue to speak to us, Lord. And as we go out in fellowship, I pray that we would have those conversations with one another that would be edifying and encouraging and sharpening. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace, the love that you have for us. We praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.